Oh, this could be him here. Hello. Well, we're trying to get a hold of you right now. And, well, the show is actually on right now. And it's,
No, it isn't. I wouldn't be talking if it were.
Okay, we're having some problems here, it seems.
We certainly are.
Yeah, we're having other problems, though. Then the show is not on the air, it seems, right now.
That's right. I've got to play his card again.
Okay.
Let me keep my mic works.
All right.
Hang up.
Okay, fine.
And, all right. So, we have some technical problems. It is not clear what it is. Let's hear a little more of that Sterling Busy Signal music. All right, this is, we've had nothing but problems, but let's see. Emmanuel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, that's good. That's a start. It's more than a start.
Well, it's more than a start. It's like, you know, just about everything right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you hear me fine?
I can hear you fine, and so can our listeners, but I would like to see if I can get somebody else, one of the microphones here, functional. So
okay, well, while you're doing that, let me just tell the people that a first has finally happened here at WBAI, where I am now doing the show off the hook from my car. Well, actually, it's not my car. It's a rental car, and I'm on my cell phone. And the reason for that is because I have so many things I have to do at once that I have to, be on the phone in the car at the same time. So hopefully this will work out.
Okay, we're going to try and get Phil. Phil, would you say anything? I got all the mics on.
Yeah, anything. Yeah,
I hear him just fine.
Yeah, right. We're okay now. You know, it's amazing we can get a hold of Manuel 2,000 miles away, but 2 feet away it seems to be. going slightly wrong tonight. So, Emmanuel, where...
Well, now that we're all together, that's, you know, of course, it's a continental family radio show. Let me warn people. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm using Sprint PCS. You will hear something known as robot voice, which is one of their features. And that will happen right before I get disconnected. So that's probably going to happen a couple of times. A couple, yeah, right. Probably a lot of times, and you'll have to call me back each time.
Okay.
I'm sure that that we'll be able to keep the show going, though.
Definitely.
So what's new back there in New York?
Well, what's new in the world? Let's see. Have you heard what's going on with the president of the United States?
I heard there were some sticky situations going on over there in the White House. And, I guess
it seems even hackers are involved.
Hackers got involved somehow. Okay, this is something I had not heard.
Can you believe this? Hackers were actually mentioned in the same sentence as Clinton stained dresses, Monica Lewinsky. This story comes from CNN. President Clinton's testimony on Monday, of course this story already happened, but this is right before the testimony was taped. President Clinton's testimony on Monday about his relationship with former White House intern Monica Lewinsky is supposed to be a top-secret telecast, and security experts are trying to make sure that hackers don't find a way to intercept it. Now, before I even read the rest of the story, I mean, how often have hackers been the ones to bring stories to the media, like the hard copy and the secret videotapes? Most of the time it's been these guys hanging out in bushes taping things.
They're mixing up Hollywood with reality once again.
And, you know, here's a quote from Ira Winkler. He's a security expert. If you're talking about... With a name like Ira Winkler, you know he has to be secure. If you're talking about the standard computer hackers, they would love to get their hands on Clinton's testimony, just for the fact that they say they got it.
Well, now, who wouldn't, you know? Who wouldn't want to get their hands on something like that?
Sure.
And, to blame it on hackers because it's possible... Yeah. That's the same kind of stupidity that's gotten Kevin Mitnick put in jail.
Yep.
All this time.
And here's some quotes from them and how the telecast was broadcasted. Since it's already done, the telecast will most likely be broadcast over fiber optic lines, and the signal will be scrambled by encryption, making it impossible for hackers to steal the president's testimony, experts say. And in another quote, it's not difficult to get information from a Tempest receiver. In fact, one can buy a kit off the internet along with instructions on how to convert a TV into such receivers. For those people who don't know, a Tempest receiver is apparently a device that can pick up the radiation emitted from a television screen or even a monitor. If they're not specially protected, someone could drive up in a van, aim it at your TV or your monitor and see what you're looking at. So they were worried about that these hackers could do that. So the security expert also said, the only thing that a hacker could possibly do is cut the wire to interrupt it, and if they interrupt it, they're not capturing data. So
before we continue with the show, I just have to break for a second and just make sure that Claude is in fact running the tape. Is that in fact happening?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure of that because we didn't get a chance to do it before the show.
We've got plenty of tapes here.
Well, no, but it's just the tape, the one tape in particular that I'm interested in. That's the one he's running.
Claude?
That one's running. I can see the people chomping and everything.
Okay.
Okay, that's good to know. And of course, the show is being broadcast also on Real Audio. So I could be driving by your house right now, out here in California, and you wouldn't even know it. Well, you might know it, but the point is, the show is being broadcast around the world, and it's being brought to you from Northern California right now. I'm in the Sonoma Wine Valley area right now.
Have you sampled any of the fine wines out there yet?
Well, no, I haven't sampled any of the wines because I am driving right now.
Okay.
I do have a wine-flavored lollipop now. That's the most you can get under those situations. And we're driving back to San Francisco. We've been spending the last few days here, San Francisco, Berkeley area, and talking to a lot of people. I think we've talked to just about everybody involved in the Mitnick case by now for our documentary. And it's going very well. We filmed over 45 hours of footage now. You wouldn't think there'd be that much to talk about, but there certainly is. There's an awful lot to this case, and it just keeps getting weirder and bigger and things like that. The film is still in production in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's still being revised even as we speak. The names keep getting changed. The plots keep getting changed inside the script. I understand that a new version is going to be released at the beginning of this week. Now, keep in mind, they're already filming, and they're still releasing new versions. So Or what does that tell you for their confidence as to, you know, how good the film is or how legal the film is, even as legal action is starting to be taken against them for portrayals of Kevin Mitnick and other people in the film? One of the more humorous changes that took place has to do with the internet service provider out here in the Bay Area, which Kevin Mitnick was alleged to have compromised, known as The Well. You've heard of it.
Uh-huh.
The Whole Earth Electronic Link is what it stands for,
mm-hmm.
and they'll use The Well for many centuries now. Well, they renamed it. Apparently, The Well didn't like their portrayal, so they renamed it. And now it's called The Ball.
The Ball?
The Ball, yes.
Okay.
That's the new internet service provider that they have in the film. So when you see Takedown, Kevin Mitnick will be accused of breaking into The Ball.
Okay.
That stands for Bay Area Electronic Link, by the way.
Ah, I see.
Fictitious name, fictitious ISP. So that's what that's one of the changes that we have right now.
I had heard a rumor that Shimamura is now on the set and directing.
Well, that's no longer a rumor. That is, in fact, a fact.
Is that really a fact?
That is a fact. Shimamura has been spotted on the set in Wilmington, North Carolina. And get this, giving directions to Skeet Ulrich
mm-hmm.
as to how to portray Kevin Mitnick.
I didn't know he was a thespian.
And what I would like to know is, how do you give directions to somebody to portray a person that you've never even met? You know, it boggles the imagination how they're able to get away with this. But yeah, he's taken an active interest in the film now.
Hmm.
Apparently he was concerned that, you know, in kind of an irony, all the protests apparently got his attention.
Yeah.
And he's concerned that the film might portray him in a bad way. So he's gone down there to help them out, and I put lots of quotes around that.
So once again, it seems like he's getting a paycheck for this whole thing.
Well, I mean, undoubtedly there's compensation involved, but, you know, that's not even the issue here. The issue is fair portrayal of both the people and the stories. And in this case, we've just seen the whole thing be portrayed in a way that's advantageous to the portrayers and completely wrong and inaccurate to the action characters in the film, in the book,
mm-hmm.
namely Kevin Mitnick and his associates and other people.
Emmanuel, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Why,
okay.
did I say that?
For a second, it sounded like you cut out for a second. I got worried.
Okay, I probably did. I'm in the
okay.
rolling hills now. As I'm approaching Route 101.
Okay, well, keep your eyes on the road. Don't forget
that. You are welcome to join us in this caravan as we drive towards the Bay Area again. but just let me make note that if you do, please don't exceed the speed limit. Confine your honking and beeping and gesturing to the safe levels. And, you know, everybody will be happy.
So the last...
Now,
oh, I'm sorry.
Are there other stories in New York that we need to...
Well, not necessarily New York. It seems like there's a lot of global stories. You've heard of the Vatican, right?
I've heard stories about that.
The Vatican. Well, the Vatican is getting its own computer network. This is from Reuters and the Associated Press. From Washington to Warsaw, the Pope's brother bishops and his diplomatic soldiers will soon grow closer with a new computer network. The Vatican is going to get a high-speed network, and this will allow bishops or any other church official to enter a password and download instructions and documents directly from Rome.
The Pope is going to enter a password.
The Pope is going to enter in a password and download instructions and documents direct from, well, I guess after, if he was doing it, it'd be direct from, you know, the Almighty. Let's see. He set up the Vatican Broadcasting Office, and they're going to be transmitting, I guess, over real audio or a similar technology to the one that we use. His Christmas messages, his addresses, and, you know, whatever I guess the church deems worthy as broadcasting out.
Rumor has it
mm-hmm.
these people have seen what a tremendous success is on the internet, and we're going to follow in our footsteps. But I should point out it's only a rumor.
Some quotes here from some of the officials. Here's a couple good ones. And actually, hackers are mentioned in this, of course. You know, from presidents to the almighty, hackers get mentioned. It's kind of interesting. The road to God needs participation in a community. The Internet offers elements, but does not substitute for this road, he said. Security is another major concern. The Vatican invested heavily in protective measures and setting up its Internet computers. Hackers try to break into the Vatican computers 6 or 7 times a day. I thought it'd be more, but they said 6 or 7 times a day. All you have to do is get in and change a document, and you can profoundly change the church teachings. So,
well, you know, some people may say that's necessary.
Well, in a related story, they actually, hackers did break in, and they changed all the knots in the Ten Commandments to say, you can kill people, you can covet your wife, you can go out and do all those things. So it's causing a lot of problems. The world is in chaos.
As soon as I said that, I started losing audio, so maybe I won't say things like that again.
I don't want your phone to get struck by lightning. Okay. Are you still there, Emmanuel? Uh-oh.
It sounds like I've got it. Oh, no, I can't tell from here.
No, he's gone. He's definitely gone. All right, well, while Claude tries to get hold of Emmanuel, and he might be behind a mountain, so this might be a little while. I don't know if everybody here reads the dictionary like I do. The latest edition of the New Oxford Dictionary of English, just published, contains some new and interesting definitions. Freaking, the act of hacking into telecommunication systems, especially to obtain free phone calls. Spam, irrelevant or inappropriate messages sent to the Internet to a large number of news groups or users. Snail mail, the ordinary post office system opposed to the electronic mail. Mouse potato, I kind of thought this was funny. Informal, a person who spends a large amount of leisure time or work time operating a computer. Remember, they specify work time as well. Bloatware, informal, software whose usefulness is reduced because of excessive memory it requires. Emoticon, we've all seen these, those little colons and doodads and smiley faces we put at the end of our emails to try to lighten the mood after we say something really rotten. Representative of official expression such as a smile or frown formed by various combinations of keyboard characters and used in the electronic communications to convey the writer's feeling or intended tone. And get this, Gates, Bill, he's in the dictionary now, folks. American computer entrepreneur, full name William Henry Gates. He co-founded the computer software company Microsoft and became the world's youngest and America's youngest multi-billionaire in history. All right. Let's see what else we got in the news until we get a hold of Emmanuel. How's it going, Claude, over there, trying to get out of here? Well, he could be behind a mountain.
I think it's more like the station is behind a technological mountain.
You're not allowed to say that. Next up in the news, we all use ICQ. I use ICQ. Great service. You sign on, your computer's there, you get a buddy list, you get all your friends, you see when they're online, you can leave messages for them. Well, ICQ apparently had some problems. It's 15 million members last week. Someone could actually log on using their name, using their account, and could potentially give away their sensitive information, pretend they're other people. And the way they did this, it was pretty interesting. They use a non-Windows client to actually log in, and they use you think it was something complicated. All they did was use more than 8 characters, and they're in. If they know your universal internet, I think it's UIN1, universal internet number or universal identification number, they could get who you are. For those of you who don't know, Mirabilis is a subsidiary of America Online now, and they say they fixed it. Here's a quote from Yossi Vardy, Director of Business Development for Mirabilis. We immediately identified the security issue and fixed it. The security hole resulted from some improvements we have recently induced in the system.
All
and,
right.
Oh, did we get a hold of Emmanuel? Is he there?
You stay there, right?
Let's hear this from the
Emmanuel,
first.
At least my part of this is now on the air. Now, are you going to stay on the line so we can try and put you on the air? Good. All right.
All right.
You do try. I'm not going to hang up. All right. Hang on.
All right, Emmanuel. Are you there?
I'm here, but you're on the expensive phone.
We're on the expensive phone.
The OmniPoint phone.
Well, you sound so much better on the expensive phone.
Do I sound better on this phone?
It's a little bit better.
Okay, well, we'll stay on this phone until I get dropped.
Okay.
And if I get dropped again, coming back on the Sprint phone.
You don't know what the hell you're putting through Claude here.
I'm sorry?
Claude is just pressing buttons and it was going through a storm to get a hold of you again. He's doing a heroic job in keeping the ship afloat here.
Well, I'm not so bad as you. I can barely hear you, so
yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
Okay. Well, before you got dropped off there, we actually... can you still hear me, Emmanuel?
I hear you.
Okay. Before you got dropped, I was talking about the new additions to the dictionary. They seem to put in some computer terms, freaking, spam, snail mail, mouse potato, bloatware, emoticon, and Bill Gates. and I just moved on to the ICQ. Did you ever use ICQ on your computer at all?
All I know is that you asked me a question.
Okay.
But I don't know what the question was, because I just heard the rising intonation in your voice, but I couldn't make out the words.
Okay.
That's SoundLink point quality for you. Actually, I couldn't blame SoundLink point. It's an Ericsson phone.
Yeah.
SoundLink point isn't a carrier out here. It's Pac Bell Mobile.
Well, you sound okay to me.
Good. I'm glad I can sound okay, because I can dance around about anything for a while, but I just can't really hear you.
Okay, so we can pretty much say anything to you, and you won't know what we're saying then at this point.
Well, no, I can understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I wouldn't be too crazy about that.
All right. Is there anything else that you were going to tell us?
Well, you were saying something. So
yeah, I was about to ask you before you got cut off. The last time we talked to you, you were about to go to I think it was Man's Chinese Theater.
Uh huh.
How did that go?
That went quite well. We talked to a bunch of people outside the theater. I have to say, though, people of New York are a lot friendlier.
You think so?
They're interested in what's going on with the whole Kevin case. You know, they walk up to you and they take an active interest in what it is that you're saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got some of that in L.A., but not nearly the same amount. You know, a lot of people just wanted to, you know, walk by and get on with their busy lives out here. A bit better in Berkeley. We spent the day in Berkeley yesterday, or actually was it 2 days ago, outside Cody's bookstore on Telegraph, and that's quite a place to hang out and just meet people. And a lot of people already knew about Kevin's case, and we were busy spreading the word about that. And we were doing pretty much the same thing and talking to all the players in the case. You know, if you read the books, you'll know who those people are. We were doing lots of interviews, and we were going to continue doing that.
Now, for those people who still, you know, just kind of getting onto the Free Kevin movement, the books that they should read, which ones would you say would encompass the Kevin Mitnick plight or parts of it more accurately than, say, the makers of the movie, the book that they based the movie on?
Okay, I really can't hear you at all. I'm going to ask you to call me back on the Sprint phone.
Okay.
Only because, let me just check my level. Yeah, I got a 5-bar signal here. If you call me back right now, you
okay.
should be able to get me.
All right, Claude. Great, you're gonna be trying to call him, right, Claude?
Yeah, let me do it.
All right, well, let me get another news story. Well, speaking of Berkeley, he was out in Berkeley, California. Some of you probably heard there's a hacker out there who has 48,000 encrypted passwords from companies and universities around the world. The hacker was thought to be operating someplace outside Europe because his first known computer hacking or whatever you want to call it was outside the United States. The hacker recently broke into accounts at Silicon Valley and an internet service provider and some other universities here. Let's see, 48,000 passwords. It seems like he's not seeking classified information. He's not doing government information. He's not really, you know, they think he's using a program called John the Ripper to decode the encrypted password. Some of you probably know what that is. But I don't know. I was hoping to talk to Emmanuel about the if he I think Claude got the wrong number. You know, Claude, if you get the wrong number, you should put it on the air.
All right. I'll let you know this, that apparently there's some kind of strange wiring inside the phone. I can hear it with my ears without any kind of mechanical device. That there's something odd about the sound of these buttons. It's not quite that dual tone. But anyway, I can't get through occasionally. I'm trying again.
Okay, go. I mean, we've got plenty of stuff here to do tonight. You know, we can always take other phone calls and see who has the best Emmanuel impression and, you know, have him talk. Now, what's unfortunate is I didn't bring any music. If I would have brought some music, we could have had some background music behind my voice. Well, let's move on to the next story. Would you hire a hacker? Question asked. Who would know better whether your network is vulnerable? A regular person or a hacker? And this story's from MSNBC. Pretty good story. Last week we mentioned Agent Steele is back in prison. How are we doing there, Claude?
The message I just got was the PCS telephone is not in service. So
really?
Well,
let's hope for the best that he didn't get in an accident or anything like that.
I doubt that. I'm not sure. Well, how would they know that he had?
Yeah. There's prorated billing. It works out pretty quickly.
I'm going to try, because I have two numbers, so I'm going to try the the number that he was originally on.
Yeah, try the top
fails,
one.
I will try the bottom one.
Try the top one. That's the one that he said to call.
I've been doing this.
Okay. You know, this is why radio stations don't normally do this. They don't broadcast the host of the show from a phone. Well, anyways, back to the hacker story and would you hire him. Agent Steele, most of you know Justin Peterson, is back in prison, apparently. Some of the things he did, he's 37 now, reformed. Oh, you know what? He's calling me now. Let's find out what he says. Hello? Well, Claude tried to call you, and it seems that your PCS phone is out of service. Is that what it said, Claude?
But it's all very dubious because I think that the touch tones are not working properly.
Yeah. Well,
that it's giving the system spurious numbers.
Yeah.
Or numbers it can't interpret.
Well, go ahead. I have him on the other line here with me. Okay, Claude, call right now. He stopped the car. He has a 5-bar signal. Go ahead and call him. All right, folks, I'm watching Claude, the skilled engineer, pick up the phone.
Which one?
The top number on that piece of paper. All right, Claude's dialing. And the volume isn't on. He's doing fine. So for you folks at home, I want to kind of paint a picture of what's going on here. I'm holding a cell phone. Claude's holding a phone with all sorts of lines on it. There's a couple of people in here. Hello? Are you still there right now? Okay. And a lot of dismay. Now, he's calling you right now. I see him calling.
Yeah, ring. One ring.
And it's ringing.
Two, but I don't know what's
ringing. There's two rings. Call one through.
All right. Hang on.
Okay. We're ready to go here. Nothing like cutting-edge chaos radio.
All right.
I'm back. Now, I don't understand what just happened there. Maybe Claude can explain it to us.
Yeah, well, I think I sort of did that. the pad of buttons that you dial with these days, my suspicion is that it's got shorts within it or whatever. But I can hear myself something sounds off about it, and then I get I don't know who I talked with a little while ago. It sounded like her native language wasn't English and probably couldn't speak English.
It sounds like you dialed a wrong number.
The phone interpreted the buttons I pushed
that way. Well, now, when I get cut off again, and I'm certain that I will be, all right, please just keep trying repeatedly, okay, every 15 seconds until you get through.
Yeah.
That's what people have to do when they use these phones, is they have to keep trying.
You know, this happens a lot to NASA. When they're sending astronauts around, so we could certainly deal with it here.
Yeah, I think we can manage. But anyway, let's cover anything else that's happened in the last week or so.
Well, I pretty much got I dispensed of my news stories. I started the story about Justin Peterson about Agent Steele. He's back in prison now. I think you mentioned that a couple weeks back. And
mostly has something to do with his inability to pay restitution.
Really?
And I heard rumors that he's going to be out at the end of August.
Uh-huh.
Specifically August 24th, that's what I've heard.
Now, how is this possible that he can go in and out of the judicial system and the prison system and you know, to me, Kevin still is unheard, untried, you know, anything.
Well, you'll find when you're a federal informant as he has been, that certain things kinda go your way, even when you do everything possible to make sure they don't.
Yeah.
And conversely, everything isn't going Kevin's way when he makes every effort to make things go his way.
Okay. How do you feel about trying to take some calls soon?
I feel great about that. I'm really positive about it. I have that concern, the concern I always have week after week, year after year, actually, of who the first call will be. So,
okay,
let's
get
the number 212-209-2900. Claude, are you ready to dive into the exciting world of taking listener phone calls?
Well, I think your first call is on the air, being polite.
Oh, okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
See, now, I've had dreams. I've had nightmares. I've had sessions with psychiatrists about this whole thing. And it's not getting any better. It's not going away. It just keeps happening every single time. Okay, let's just do it. Hi, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah, I just had some questions. I was wondering, do you remember when the Russians was the Soviet Union back in the 70s and 80s? I was wondering.
Oh, but I've heard rumors that it was called that once.
Why, when you used to be try and call Russia the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, you used to have to delay. You used to have to wait 8 hours. Now you can call direct. Why is that? Why was that?
Well, it was because there were only a certain number of circuits open to the country, and you had to sort of wait in line. I think if you want to relive old times, you can try calling Cuba, and you'll have to go through the same thing right now. And it's usually on our end. I believe Cuba wants to get all kinds of phone calls from us, but we only let about a dozen at a time go through.
I always thought that it was like you had to wait for a KGB agent to listen to the phone calls or something.
No, it wasn't anything like that. I'm sure there was a lot of that going around, but no, it was because the traffic between the two countries was was very limited. There are some countries, for instance, like Albania, where you used to not be able to call there at all. There's just no way to call there. I went to Canada once and was able to place my first phone call to Albania from Canada. And that's what you had to do if you wanted to connect to that country. I believe to this day you cannot call North Korea. But why don't you go get on the phone and try calling North Korea?
I think I tried that. They have a country code, I think.
Well, okay.
Tell the operator. Let's call the operator and ask.
What I'd like you to do is try to get through to North Korea and tell us your results.
Okay.
And also, can you handle that? Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Next week, I want to hear some results.
Okay. I'd also just like to say, when you call a busy signal now, you get this little voice, the annoying voice. The line is busy, but 9X, they still say 9X. 9X, and by the way, 9X is now a messenger service.
9X is now a messenger service? What does that mean?
No, there's a messenger service called 9X.
Spelled the same way?
In New York City, yeah.
That's interesting.
And
but anyway, the busy signal message is very annoying to a lot of people, especially with automatic redial, because it kind of messes the whole thing up.
Yeah. One of the things that I always didn't like is how, I don't know if you noticed this, Emmanuel, is when anytime I've dialed a wrong number, it's never busy. They always answer. They always pick up. Do you have any reason why that happens? Every time I've dialed a wrong number, it's never been busy.
Tell me something. How would you know a wrong number busy?
Well, I'm just saying. Every time I've actually...
How would you be able to tell? This is 9X. The number you have called, which is wrong, by the way, is busy.
Yeah, well, it never has a wrong number been busy, and I'm like, oh, I'll try back later, and it rings. It's always, there's always someone there. They're always upset with me. It's always 3 o'clock in the morning. Anyways, that's my 2 cents I thought
I just
had.
I just also like to ask, why when you listen to Unreal Audio, like some of the older shows, like on the archive, you have to, when you want to go to the end or the middle, you have to wait. I mean, like, I've gone to Real Audio pieces that, you just go to the end and it goes right through.
It depends how you're listening to it. How are you listening to it?
Through Windows 95.
Okay. If you have a very slow machine, you might have a problem with that. If you just listen through the Real Audio player rather than the browser.
No, I'm listening through the Real Audio player.
Okay. I'd have to see the exact show to be able to diagnose that. Some systems are so slow, though, that you have to load things.
You have to take a long time. You have the HTTP stream, and other people have the Real Audio stream, a special stream that's faster or something.
Give us specifics. We can look into that off air.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
1-2-2-0-9-2-9-0-0 is our phone number. You're listening to Off the Hook. Emmanuel here driving in California, and Bill there in New York. And I'm just a little worried that we're getting lost. The bridge. We're clicking it, right? Okay. But a certain bridge we have to make sure we hit, otherwise we're doomed. Anyway, let's take another listener phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Emmanuel, hey, how you doing?
Hey, it's good to hear your voice all the way out here.
Yeah, all the way. So let's see. So it's like 5:30 there, right? And who's the host?
Yes, 5:36.
Who's the host tonight? What's his first name? You made a mistake.
Oh no. Oh, okay. My mic's back on. I'm sorry. My name's Philip.
Philip, right?
Yeah.
You said Emmanuel was 2,000 miles away. If he's in California, obviously there's 3,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't want to
3,000.
I don't want to sound like a satire of your first caller, but unless Emmanuel is doing it covertly from the, the underground ICBM headquarters or something, he's 3,000 miles away.
He's actually in the next room. This is a big farce, by the way.
We put over 5,000 miles on a total of 3 rental cars now. And, of course, it all counts to 1 rental car because, 2 of them went out of commission. But it's all unlimited mileage, and it's part of this amazing. It's sort of like the unlimited soda thing that they have at various fast food.
It's fiber.
But I really regret having started this whole deal in the first place.
It's fiber there in the call with you. I haven't spoken.
No,
to you.
No. We just have a camera crew here, and we're going around getting
take my picture, no.
footage, and documentation, and all kinds of things.
Anyway, like seriously, heck, could you guys not mention the story of the week? AT&T. My uncle showed me in the New York Post, and it was also in the Daily News. Starting a $3 a person surcharge starting in January, unless you can verify you're a low income person.
Actually, I heard
about
yesterday.
This as well.
Yeah. What?
I heard this yesterday for the first time, and it struck me as really bad, really nasty, and really typical of the way things are going these days.
Do you think
AT&T what will be charging $3 a month for everybody, no matter how many calls they make?
Even if you make no calls at all, unless you can prove by some, you know, process that would make Ronald Reagan make sense that you're low income and God knows, you know, all the privacy stuff you give to the phone company, but...
Okay, you see, well, here's the difference. All right, this is not a government-imposed fee. This is an AT&T-imposed fee.
Right, but no one's fighting it. It's like a done deal, or, you know.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let them have their $3 fee, but everybody can avoid this $3 fee by simply switching to another phone company.
But I'm saying they're probably going to all, you know, in a collusion, but legally non-collusion way, will eventually, you know, have it, don't you think? Or?
It's possible, but, you know, I don't think that really makes much good business sense.
Well, last thing. I haven't listened to the show since I spoke to you last when you were planning the Miramax rally, and I'll just give advice to hackers who may not be into this sort of thing. Never mix psychiatric medication with codeine, contact, and alcohol, but I'm back. And I wanted to ask you how the rally went. Now you're making
the rally went quite well.
Now you're making a movie.
Well, we didn't meet anybody famous. But we met a lot of cool people that showed up for the rally.
No, I'm saying you're making a documentary now. I hear.
We're making a documentary. Yes, we decided they inspired us so much that we decided to set up our own cameras.
You have to show it at either Film Forum or Cinema Village East, right?
Well, we'll try.
Let's see what
we'll
else.
Phone calls.
Oh, and Manuel, you're giving Claude a nervous breakdown. I can hear he's getting like real tense. Maybe he needs some.
Oh my goodness.
Some gong cho or some shiatsu.
How
anyway,
did you know that?
good talking to you. And you guys take care. And I'm just kidding around. Bye bye.
Okay, take care.
Bye bye. I'm trying to feel better.
To go back to that AT&T story, the reason why they're charging $3 a month, no matter what, is because they're trying to make up for the people who don't make any long distance calls at all. This is what I. This is the story that I read.
Okay, explain something to me then. How do these people who don't make any long-distance phone calls at all cost them any money?
Well,
they're not using their service, so how could they be costing them any money? They say they have to make up for these people that don't make phone calls. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like raising the cost of bread because not everybody buys it.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
We're raising the cost. Exactly. We're raising the cost of something because we're not selling enough of it.
Except it makes less sense because this is not something tangible. You know, AT&T has plenty of customers. If you're not using their phone lines, then, you know, you're not costing them anything. I mean, what, are they going to go out and just charge people who don't use their service?
Yeah, you'll
an interesting marketing technique.
You'll get a non-use bill. Like, you know, thank you for not using AT&T, I suppose. I don't know what to say about that.
I just can't imagine what they're thinking. It's another one of these boneheaded maneuvers.
All right, well, you think we're ready for another call?
I'm ready. All right, how about you?
Okay.
We've got a load of them. Here's the next.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you calling? Where are you calling from?
Staten Island.
Staten Island. Okay, cool.
Question for you. Do you know any way of, on caller ID boxes, of sending, say, improper information?
I'm sorry. Caller ID boxes what?
Sending, per se, improper information or false information or other information.
Well, they've been known to send garbled information. Are you saying to send false information?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that involves somehow getting the data that gets sent over there to be forged in a different way. There are ways of you know, sending misleading data, but I've yet to see somebody actually hack the system and send false information intentionally over that system.
You know, I suppose you can hit *67 to avoid... you know, caller ID.
Oh, that'll simply result in a private number being.
Yeah, yeah. But it's involved with the switch itself, where that's where the data gets sent, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you're able to do things. Like, here's a trick that I learned in the early days of caller ID. If you call a number that's busy and you hit star 69 so that it calls you back, star 69, I'm sorry, star 66, it'll call you back when it's not busy anymore.
Uh-huh.
On your caller ID box, their number will appear as if they're calling you when they never called you at all. They just hung up the phone and they're not busy anymore.
That's
a low-tech way of you know, sending false information in a sense. I mean, the information is real. That's how it's being sent over. But I'll tell you something. Using the phones out here, using the PCS phones, I'm using both GSM and CDMA, everybody who calls me, everybody has caller ID now. I mean, nobody blocks it anymore. So it's really, it's almost a non-issue. Caller ID seems to have been completely accepted by people in this country.
Yeah.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. And I'm crossing this bridge anyway. It's not the Bay Bridge. The San Rafael Bridge I'm crossing right now at this moment.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's on the San Rafael Bridge, which heads to Oakland and Berkeley. Please give a beep or whatever, and you know, I'll wave or something like that. So I'm here on my PCS phone, talking right now on my Sprint PCS phone, and Phil's back there in New York.
Yeah.
And do we have another call on the line?
Right now.
I was just curious, actually not curious, I just wanted to say shout out to Kevin, happy birthday, Kevin Mitnick. I know it's a terrible way to spend your birthday in jail, and I was just curious to wonder if what if anybody has heard or seen from Pam since the last...
Okay, someone, hey Claude, I think that's Emmanuel. Claude and his melodies over there.
It's been rough.
So all Claude, right. Our instructions were to call every 15 seconds on that first number. So Claude, go for it. Let's see here. You know, Claude, we could call up the operator and ask the operator dial it. That'd be pretty funny, you know, on the air. We'll see how Claude does. So anyways, folks, I want to say thank you for bearing with it through the show. It's certainly been the most excitement I've had all week. It's only Tuesday. All right. Claude is putting the phone to his ear. One ring. Okay.
One ring.
Okay.
One ring.
Uh-huh.
The PCS... temporarily not in service.
See, the PCS is temporarily not in service. He's calling me now, and it's on his other phone. Okay.
What's up?
Hello. Yeah, hi. We just called you, and it seems that your phone is temporarily out of service. We're calling again right now. He has a signal now, so if you call now, you should be able to get a hold of him. All right, Claude is furiously... his finger's bleeding. He's dialing so quick. I've never seen anything like it. All right, so we're going to try to get a hold of Emmanuel, okay? Okay. Well, I don't... You know, let's... Hold on for a second here. You know, we could try it and see if he comes up. All right. You know what? Go ahead and try to talk. I'm going to see if you come over the microphone. Do you want to go ahead and try this?
Yeah. All right, Emmanuel.
Okay, I think we got him on the other one.
Emmanuel, wait, hello.
Put him on the air.
Can you speak English?
Claude's dialed the number and it's.
Hector, sorry.
Claude is dialing the phone and apparently Hector is talking to you now. Who is Hector and why isn't he on the air? I really think we should put Hector on the air. He has a 5-bar signal right now, Claude. Okay, and he's dialing again. I certainly have to say, this will be in the best ever.
No,
I
don't know what other way to say this, but it's like there are shorts inside this phone, because I can hear, this is not a normal dual tone.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'll call the operator.
We're having phone problems,
the
it seems.
I'll call the operator, see if I can do it this
way. Right. Well, he's dialing the number, and he can actually hear the shorts, do you want to? I mean, I don't think he could call us. If he were to call us, we wouldn't know which line he's on, and we have a lot of people trying to call in. Well, Claude, is it possible for us to take calls while you dial out and do things? I was going to say, why don't we take?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a call for air purposes now.
Well,
although I don't know, Emmanuel's not going to be
able. Emmanuel,
oh, wait, I've got an operator. Although not on the air.
Emmanuel has an he has an operator right now.
I'm having trouble with my telephone.
Well, she's going to dial the phone.
Here's
the
phone number, right?
Okay. All right, Claude. All right. Hang up with the operator, Claude. Hang up.
All right.
Never go through it. Okay, Claude. Go through every single line until we get a hold of him. He's calling us right now. And apologize to all of them as we hang up.
Hello.
Okay.
Emmanuel?
Next, go. Keep going.
All right. Let me try the last. Emmanuel, is that you?
Okay, keep going.
Emmanuel?
Put him on the air quick. All right. Manual.
I have two cellular phones, one on each ear, and I look like a total dork driving in a car now. Getting good looks from everybody.
You sound kind of different.
I do? Well, it's me, it really is.
Wait, no. Can you prove it to you? You sound really different right now.
How do I sound?
Well, now you're starting. Okay, you had a little bit of robot voice, or it's something.
Oh, that's that. NPCS feature I was telling you about.
Is that extra? How much extra does someone have to pay to get something?
I don't know. I haven't seen the bill yet. But I've seen the first bridge. That was a very long bridge. I've never seen quite such a long bridge before. And I guess they didn't have transmitters in the middle of it, so that's why I lost you.
Well, let me just tell you right now, I've never heard you sound quite like this. You certainly don't sound like you.
No. Well, some people might say that's an improvement.
Actually, you sound like you're in the dentist chair, and I'm just about to do a root canal on you.
Well, now, let me just first start by expressing my sincere condolences to all the people we had to hang up on just now.
Okay.
Back on the air.
Now, Claude, is it possible to transfer him to the VIP line so we can take other calls?
By chance.
Well, Claude needs to get on
the line. By chance, it is on the VIP line.
Oh, it is on the VIP line. Okay, we can take calls. Are you still there, Emmanuel?
I just automatically came in on the VIP line.
Any event, you're there. Let's be thankful.
All right.
I'm very thankful.
All right.
212-209-2900. You're listening to an unusual edition of Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel right now entering Berkeley on the 580. Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, here in California, they refer to road numbers with the word "the" in front of it.
The Route 66?
Every road has "the" in front of it. So I'm on the 580 now.
The 580.
In New York, you'd never say I'm on the 95. You'd say I'm on I-95 or something like that. So there's all these cultural differences that cannot possibly be dealt with.
Okay. Well, you sound
this
like...
This is going to go down in history.
Yeah, you sound like you're in the dentist chair here, so... turn and spit.
Why would I sound any different if I was in a dentist chair? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you have cotton stuck in your mouth or something like that, or you're getting some type of surgery, or I don't know. You sound... Well, I guess when you get back, you'll hear the show, and you'll understand the camera.
I'm afraid of this one.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing the show this way is because a lot of things happened at once. We had to do an interview up north, and we had to drive back here to get our cameraman to the airport in time.
Yeah.
His time leaves in about an hour and a half or so. So, you know, there's a lot of running around that we have to do. And the only way I could do the show is if I did the show from my phone in my car.
Well, next time...
That's just the way it has to be.
Well, yeah, we certainly weren't prepared for this, so I apologize as well. All right, you want to try to take another call?
You know, there haven't been any earthquakes either. I keep missing all the tremors. Yeah, let's take another call. 212-209-2900.
All right.
You're on. Off the Hook.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm on?
Yeah, you're on.
Right
oh,
now.
Okay. This is Jack the Ripper or whatever. Do you remember me, Phil?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool.
I could just forget Jack the Ripper. Come on.
I remember you about England killing a bunch of ladies a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah. Well, where are you calling from tonight, Jack?
Kansas City.
Wow.
Kansas City. You know, we were in Kansas City. We passed right through both of them, in fact. Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah, I know. Kind of. I was at Ozfest that day, though, you guys. Guys came the same day as Ozfest, yeah.
Quite a place you got there. Quite a city. Quite a couple of cities.
Yeah, quite a couple of cities.
So are you listening over real audio right now?
Yeah. Surprised. I've been trying to get on for weeks.
Wow.
Got on.
Excellent.
You know, just to add fun to this whole thing, I'm about to run out of gas. I'm looking at the gas gauge now. It's well below E. But our exit is only 2 miles away, so hopefully we'll make it.
I'm on the IRC. Everybody's saying, where's fiber? Where's fiber? I mean...
Well, let's see.
Well, I'm the last person to ask about that. I'm out here in San Francisco.
I don't see him...
He's not here, I can tell you that much.
I don't see him in the studio.
Yeah,
now all these people are asking me to give shout-outs. Oh, I got to say one thing, though. Every week, except it seems like this week, there's an after-show on Telefreaks server for Off the Hook, and just want to get everybody's listening to know that's there, because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, some people are broadcasting things after Off the Hook on the servers, which is kind of neat. They'll start a whole radio network and have all kinds of programs, which I think would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of people, I remember, like, I used to stream. In fact, hopefully I'm still streaming right now. Did some interesting shows. You know, my CD collection was pretty bare, and my ex-girlfriend seemed to take off with most of the CDs, so it was the one CD show. But I think a lot that's great. I think this is going to be the way radio is going to be in a few years. A lot of it, people playing what they want to hear, and, you know, people just going around surfing, hearing what they want to hear.
Speaking of the future, this is something I almost forgot to mention, and I think it's very important. A lot of us back on the East Coast are playing on cable modems and you know, getting higher speeds through there. Out here on the West Coast, the big thing is DSL, something that we've been talking about for a while, something that has not yet come to the Atlantic territory. People are using it here, and the good thing about DSL, not only do you get high speeds, there's lots of competition, lots of independent ISPs are offering DSL, so...
I can't find anything around here. I've been looking around, DSL.
Well, the cable modems are, you know, basically run by the cable companies, and you have to play by their rules and live under their tyranny. DSL is different in that the same people that are giving you Internet access now are able to give you DSL under whatever conditions you want. It's a bit pricier than cable modems right now. It's $150, I think. But that's for a 24/7 connection, and you can run servers off and do all kinds of other things.
Yeah, I just switched ISPs a month or two ago to one that I haven't even noticed many people with it. It's called, like, WANS, World American Networks, owned by 3Com, you know, U.S. Robotics. It's kind of an, I mean, that's what's not too great about it, but it works really, you know, really good access. And, okay, was it, Emmanuel, were you hanging out with Mackie a little bit ago?
I don't know for sure what everybody's name was.
He,
hang on a second.
He kept talking about you or whatever.
Oh, okay. I just had to cut somebody off. Sorry about that.
Well,
I've hung out with so many people. I don't even know who I hung out with anymore. I just want to say it's all been a lot of fun.
That's cool.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay.
We're going to try to squeeze in. Claude, how many more calls do you think we can get in here?
Oh,
at least a couple more.
Maybe two more calls. What do we have, like 6 minutes or so left?
You got to call on the line now.
Hey.
Okay.
Hello. How you doing? Calling from Nassau County.
Good, how are you?
All right, I'm calling from Nassau County. Two quick questions.
Oh, sure.
Is there any way to get a regular operator from an OmniPoint phone?
A regular operator from an OmniPoint? That's a really good question. What kind of operator would you like?
In other words, if I want to do call verification, like if I want to call home and see if my line's busy being someone talking on or if it's just off the hook, I keep getting an OmniPoint operator, but I can never get like a, you know, like a Bell Atlantic operator or whatever.
Well, there's one way you could do it, but I don't think you could afford it. You have to call 1-800-CALL-ATT and ask them to do a long-distance verification for you, and that's probably going to run about $7 or $8.
Not worth it.
You're
going to go to a payphone, right?
If you go to a payphone, they're still going to charge you a lot, but it'll probably be a Bell Atlantic operator, and they won't charge you as much.
Okay. And one other quick one?
Yeah.
Think about the caller ID that you said. When you call, if I call *66, I get the person's number on my caller ID, right? What do they get on their caller ID?
It depends if you have *67 set or not. If you call them and you're blocking the caller ID, they'll get private numbers.
Oh, they will.
If you're not, if you're not blocking the caller ID, then they'll get your numbers, just like any other call.
What if they have all call block?
I mean, they're not going to get it if their line is busy, obviously.
Right.
But if they have call waiting, they'll get it on their call waiting, because a lot of people have that service now.
I see. Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, next call.
Hey, Phil, I have to make a really tight U-turn here.
Okay.
So if you don't hear from me for a while, it's because I'm busy doing that. Actually, I just got a red light, so.
All right, so.
How are you doing, guys?
Hey.
I'm out in the middle of Brooklyn. I have an interesting experiences lately with what the FCC calls line seizure, machines that you can't hang up on.
Uh-huh.
Apparently the ones who are doing it are all these illegal mortgage bankers who are actually just trying to steal money from people. And
what exactly are they doing? What do you mean by that?
You get a long message, maybe a 5 to 10 minute message, trying to get you to call them back.
Yeah.
Leave your number, to leave your number for them to call you back.
Yeah.
And then they try to get you to send them money.
Uh-huh.
And the way you can identify them is that they're machines will not be hung up on, which is a violation of FCC regulations on line seizure, which is what I've been in touch with them on.
Uh-huh.
And the only other people who are doing this is Mark Green's senatorial campaign, who also have a machine that can't be hung up on.
Wow.
That's interesting. I'd like to know more about these machines. I would think in most cases it's not the machine, but rather it's the phone connection itself. In other words, I don't think there's a machine that you connect. Hang on, this blue turn isn't working out quite the way I wanted it to. The phone connection for some reason isn't closing. I don't think there's a machine you can buy that will, you know, keep the line open.
Well, what their regulation says is line seizure by automatic telephone dialing systems which deliver a recorded message must release the called party's telephone line within 5 seconds of the time notification is transmitted that the called party has hung up. So apparently there are kinds of auto dialers that refuse to recognize the hang-up signal.
Right, but even in those cases, you cannot hold the line for more than, say, 10 or 15 seconds before the phone switch itself will disconnect you.
I've left them off for a full 3 minutes.
And they're still there.
They're still there when you pick back up.
That's something that I think, you're in Bell Atlantic territory?
Yeah, Bell Atlantic.
It sounds like a Bell Atlantic problem. I mean, I'd like to know of a machine that could do that. You know, I don't think it's possible to just have a machine that will keep your line open on a regular phone line.
The Mark Green message is only 30 seconds long, but that's still six times as long as they're supposed to be allowed to hold it.
Uh-huh.
So you say it's not in the auto dialer, it's actually in the connection.
I think it is. And, you know, if you're getting the same one all the time, then it's probably because there's something wrong between that CO and your CO.
But there's like 5 or 10 of these illegal companies, all of whom have different names and different, you know, people working for them that all are impossible.
Does the number show up on your caller ID?
I don't have caller ID, but no, it can't be, it's not even traceable. The trace can't be made successfully to *5-7.
Well, guys, I hate to cut this short, but it seems like we're just about out of time.
I'll email you about it.
Okay.
Emmanuel, any closing words before you hit a side of a car or something like that?
Oh, no, okay. I'm not in any danger of that because I just arrived at my destination.
Oh, excellent.
So I stopped the car now, and I'm actually standing in the street.
Great.
I'm sorry to have to put everybody through that, but I think it was educational. It was a bit fun.
Oh, yeah. It only shaved off 10 years off Claude's life, but that's okay.
Anyway, we'll be back next week with more information about the whole Mitnick case and the takedown film. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more information to share. Until then,
excellent.
Samuel Goldstein for Phil. Good night.
Good night.
Barbara Nimri-Aziz, host of Arab Voices Crescent Rising. That's our weekly magazine here on WBAI featuring Arab and